Picture this. You're on final approach. Winds are picking up, gusting across the runway, and your student is fighting it. The airplane's drifting. You reach for the yoke because you've decided, quietly, in your own head, that it's time for you to take it. Your student sees your hand move and lets go because they figure you've got it. And for about 2 seconds, nobody is flying the airplane. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today's tip of the day is a small one. It takes about 3 seconds to do right, and it has prevented more bent metal and more scared instructors than almost any procedure I can name. We're talking about the positive exchange of flight controls. Stick with me, because this one isn't just for students. This is for anybody who has ever shared a cockpit with another pilot, and that's all of us. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter. And honestly, that first solo coin sitting on your desk years later still means something. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's walk through this together. Here's the core problem. Anytime two pilots are in an airplane, there is exactly one person who should be flying it at any given moment. One, not zero, and definitely not two. Zero is what I described a minute ago. Both hands come off because each pilot assumes the other one has it. The airplane keeps flying for a second or two, then it starts doing what an untended airplane does, which is whatever it wants. Two is almost as bad. Both pilots on the controls, both making inputs, fighting each other without realizing it. On a gusty final, that can feel exactly like turbulence, and you'll swear the airplane is misbehaving when really it's just two humans pulling in opposite directions. The fix for both problems is the same. It's a simple verbal exchange, and it goes three ways. Here it is. The person giving up the controls says, "You have the flight controls." The person taking them says, "I have the flight controls." And then the first person confirms, "You have the flight controls." Three statements, a handoff, an acknowledgement, and a confirmation. That third call is the one people skip, and it's the most important one of the three, because it closes the loop. It's the moment both pilots know out loud who is flying this airplane. Let me say that again, because it matters. The person who is giving up control speaks first and speaks last. You offer it, they accept it, you confirm they have it. Only then do your hands come off. Now here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The words are only part of it. The other part is your hands and your eyes. When you take the controls, you don't just say, "I have the flight controls," and grab the yoke. You put your hand on it firmly, you glance over to see the other pilot's hands actually come off, and then you fly. When you give up the controls, you keep flying the airplane gently until you have physically seen and heard the other person take it. The controls are never ever unguarded during the swap. There is no moment where the yoke is just sitting there in space hoping somebody grabs it. One set of hands lets go only after another set has taken hold. It's a relay race, and the baton never touches the ground. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, actually spells this out. It's in the Airplane Flying Handbook, and the phrase they use is positive exchange of flight controls. That word positive is doing real work. It means unambiguous. It means confirmed. It means nobody is guessing. And it shows up on your check ride, too. If you flip through the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, you'll find positive exchange of the flight controls listed right up front in the tasks. The examiner is looking for you to do it correctly and to do it every single time, not just when you remember. Because on the check ride, control is going to change hands a lot. They'll take it to demonstrate something, you'll take it back. Every one of those swaps is a chance to show that you've made this a habit, not a performance. Let me give you a real scenario. You're doing steep turns on your private check ride. You roll out, you're a little proud of yourself, and the examiner says, "My airplane, I want to show you something." Now, if you've drilled this right, you don't even have to think. You hear "my airplane" and you come back with your airplane. You feel them take it, you say "your airplane" one more time, and your hands come off and go into your lap where the examiner can see them. That last part matters. Hands in your lap, or on your knees, somewhere visible. Because now there is zero doubt. The examiner can see you're not on the controls, you can see they are. The airplane has exactly one pilot. Compare that to the student who hears "my airplane" and just kind of lets go while mumbling something. Now the examiner isn't sure. Are you still fighting the yoke? Are you going to grab it back if you get nervous? That uncertainty is exactly what this procedure exists to kill. Here's another scenario, and this is the one that actually hurts people: early solo work or a checkout in an unfamiliar airplane, instructor in the right seat. Things get a little sporty on landing, a gust, a bounce, and the instructor instinctively reaches for the controls to save it, but they don't say anything, they just grab. Meanwhile, the student, feeling the instructor take over, let's go, except the instructor didn't actually commit to taking it, they were just ready to. So now you've got a bounce landing, close to the ground, and for a heartbeat the airplane is flying itself. That's how a recoverable bounce turns into a prop strike or a runway excursion. The lesson there cuts both ways. If you're the instructor or the more experienced pilot and you decide to take it, you take it out loud, and you take it all the way. I have the flight controls, commit. And if you're the one flying and you hear that, you give it up cleanly and you confirm it. But until you hear those words, you keep flying. Don't hand off an airplane to a hand you merely saw move. Let me pull out a few practical takeaways you can use on your very next flight. First, make it verbal, always, even if you're absolutely certain the other person knows. Especially then, the words cost you nothing and they close the loop. Silence is where the confusion lives. Second, the giver speaks first and last. You offer, they accept, you confirm. If you only remember one thing from this whole segment, remember that the person letting go of the airplane is the one who confirms the other person has it. That third call is your seatbelt. Third, keep flying until you've handed it off and grab firmly when you take it. No unguarded controls. The baton never hits the ground. Fourth, and this one is underrated, brief it before you fly. On the ground, before you even start the engine, especially with someone new, say out loud, hey, when we swap controls, it's the three-way you have, I have, you have, cool. 10 seconds on the ramp. Now you're never inventing the procedure in the middle of a gust when your heart rate is up and your brain is busy. And let me add a fifth, because it comes up more than you'd think. This applies to more than the yoke, radios, who's talking to the tower. If you're tax saturated and you say you have the flight controls, it's worth being clear about whether you're also handing off the radios or the navigating or just the stick and rudder. In a busy cockpit, a quick you have the airplane, I've got the radios keeps two people from both keying up or both going silent. Assign the jobs out loud. Now I want to be honest with you about something, because I promised at the top I'd never tell you this stuff is easy. Learning to fly is hard. It's expensive. You are drinking from a fire hose, and on any given lesson you've got airspeed, altitude, heading, radios, checklists, and a runway coming up fast, all competing for the same attention. And I'm sitting here telling you to add one more procedure to the pile. But here's why this one earns its place. Most of what you're juggling is about flying the airplane well. This procedure is about making sure the airplane is being flown at all. It's foundational. It sits underneath everything else. Get this wrong and none of the rest matters, because for those 2 seconds, there's no pilot in command of anything. And it's a habit that scales all the way up. Two pilot airliner crews do a version of this every single flight. Your controls. My controls. Thousands of hours, tens of thousands of hours, and they still say the words. Not because they'd forget who's flying, because saying it out loud is the whole point. It removes the guess. So the next time you're up with your instructor, or you're taking a friend flying, or you're getting a flight review with a CFI you've never met, listen for it. Listen for the three-way exchange. And if the other person doesn't do it, you do it. You be the one who says the words. It's a small thing that marks a careful pilot, and careful pilots are the ones who get to keep flying for a long, long time. That's your tip of the day. Most of what we walk through today comes straight out of the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards, and I genuinely encourage you to go read those few paragraphs yourself, because they're short and they're clear. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go say the words out loud on your next flight, and I'll see you back in the Pattern.